With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, sponsored by the Popeyes Chicken Sandwich. Let's get past that all. Marcellus Wiley over here admiring that might be the best suit I've ever seen in sports broadcasting.
Phil, you say that three times a week.
Well, you look good.
It's not about the suit. It's about who wears it.
Oh, that's what it is? Put that on me. I bet you're going to say the same thing. What color is that for real? I don't know my Crayolas.
I don't know. Is it not brown?
Nah, we gotta go deeper than that. Come on, man, you can't look that fresh and be ignorant.
You look amazing, though, over there. All right, let's get started.
In Houston with something that is interesting, the Texans officially named Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback Monday. But Deshaun Watson is still on the roster. Watson requested a trade in January, but is expected to be a healthy scratch on game days. The Texans star is facing 22 civil lawsuits, and reports say Houston is looking for at least 3 first-round picks in any deal with a 3-time Pro Bowler. So, Acho, what should the Texans do with Deshaun Watson?
So, it's very simple what the Texans need to do about Deshaun. Lower the asking price. That's it. That's simple. So many people are saying, well, it's all about Deshaun Watson's off-the-field ambiguity. We don't know how long he's going to be suspended, if he's going to be suspended. A game, a season, a decade, who knows? All of that truly, as it pertains to the NFL and being able to trade Deshaun Watson, is not irrelevant, but it's not actually the biggest deal if you know the way in which this NFL has begun to work and continue to work over the course of years and decades. I'm reminding you all, 3 firsts and 2 seconds is what the Texans are allegedly asking for Deshaun Watson. Entirely too high.
Okay.
We can look at what the 49ers gave up for Trey Lance, number 3 overall pick. Essentially, they gave up 2 firsts. They gave up 3 firsts, but they swapped a first.
Okay.
We can look at what the Rams gave up back in the gap for Jared Goff. Moving up for Jared Goff, who was obviously well worth it. Number 1 overall pick, ended up taking his team to a Super Bowl in his 3rd season. First in a couple seconds. We can look at what the Rams gave up for Matthew Stafford. 1st, 2nd, some 3rds here and there. But what it wasn't was 3 firsts and 2 seconds.
Okay.
The asking price is entirely too high. Assume Deshaun Watson had no off-the-field issues currently going on. Assume there was no ambiguity around whether he would play or not this year.
Would you?
Teams will still look at him and say, wait a second now. What is he, 28 and 27 as a starter, 29 and 28 as a starter? He is, in my mind, a top 5 quarterback, but they would still look and say, for 3 firsts and 2 seconds, you know what we can do with that? Because as I look at it, I'm not giving up 3 firsts and 2 seconds unless you can guarantee me a Super Bowl. And even Deshaun Watson, as talented as he is, and obviously I did not like his head coach formerly of Bill O'Brien, as talented as Deshaun Watson is, my dog got them to the playoffs, got him a playoff win, if I'm not mistaken. At least he's got him to the playoffs. But he's not worth 3 firsts and 2 seconds. So before we even get to any of the off-the-field issues, and it's truly off-the-field ambiguity, the reason I say ambiguity, because we don't know how it's going to play out. All we have to look at, what is the asking price? And as it stands right now, Marcellus Wiley, that asking price of 3 firsts and 2 seconds is too high.
It is too high. There's a reason why it's too high. I'll get to that a little bit later. Let me answer the question first. Up here, what should the Texans do with Deshaun Watson? What they do with every player that is on the roster that's healthy, play him until he's suspended. We're skipping that step, irrational thought. Everyone's skipping that step. I can't believe every show I watch, which I don't watch long because I don't want to give them the rating, but I go in.
4 minutes.
Yeah, 4 minutes. Like, oh, no. Everyone intellectually is skipping a step. You can play him. And if he doesn't want to play, then you don't have to pay him. I've done the research on this. Okay, if he's named a starter, for example, and he chose not to play, you know what happened? That $10 million of base salary this year, bye-bye. And then what you gonna do? Because you got 5 years left
in terms of his rights on contract as the Houston Texans. I got Deshaun Watson for 5 more years. And if I didn't do him a favor like I did in week one and name Tyrod Taylor the starter and just happened to say, I don't know, the guy who hasn't been suspended yet, if he's going to get suspended at all, Deshaun Watson, the top 5 quarterbacks on our roster, and he's healthy. He's our starter. And if he doesn't want to play, let's play some hardball then, big dog. So that's step one. But I like your take as well. So let's go into your take. Why is there an absurd asking price? Acho, if I came into your house before today and saw that suit, and I know you love that suit, because look at that suit. It's amazing. That's like seriously one of my favorite suits ever. And you're sitting there like, I don't want to give up that suit. I'm like, Acho, let me get that suit. And you're like, I am not selling that suit. There is no price you could pay for that suit. I was like, everything has a price.
Everything got a price.
And then you know what you would say to me? I don't know, something absurd like 3 firsts and 3 seconds. You would sell me that suit for 3 firsts, 3 seconds. It's an absurd asking price because, one, the Houston Texans don't want to trade him. Two, they love him. And three, they're trying to wait this through with the NFL and trying to figure this out. Now, why is the NFL sitting on ice in terms of the decision-making of this one? Because they're smart. You remember when the Ray Rice situation went down, the NFL kind of maybe went a little faster than desired, the speed limit. 2 games. And then the public saw the video. 4 games. Public say, excuse me. And it got out of control in terms of the PR, in terms of the legislation of that moment. The NFL has self-corrected. They've learned from that error, that mistake. So now they're just going to say, wait and see. All this said, the absurd asking price is telling you what's going to happen if the Houston Texans have their way. Deshaun Watson is not going anywhere. Now, they're doing him a favor in week one. We'll see if they continue to do that week in, week out. Because if they don't and they flip it and say, you're the starter, oh, now we playing hardball.
Okay, so I like where you're at. Let's take the viewers' places. I love this show.
I truly do.
For my NFL historians watching this show, let's go down memory lane. We don't have to go far. We can go down to 2017 and 2018. Remember the imagery of Earl Thomas being carted off the Seahawks field, giving Pete Carroll and the Seahawks sideline the bird, that one finger.
Yes,
he was giving him that.
Yeah.
Why?
Give it to him.
Why did that happen? Well, Earl Thomas was displeased with his contract status in Seattle. Earl Thomas wanted a new contract. He voiced his displeasure.
I get that.
So what did Earl Thomas do? He didn't practice during training camp, and then he finally showed up the week of practice. And the week of practice, he said, yo, if I have a cough, a sneeze, if anything hurts, I ain't practicing.
Happen.
Because if they not looking out for me, I'm not looking out for them. Earl Thomas didn't practice the whole week. Goes to Friday walkthrough, Saturday walkthrough, goes into the game, gets 2 picks. He was that good. If you all remember, a few games into that season, Earl breaks his leg. Why did Earl give the bird to the Seahawks sideline? Not because he was frustrated with the injury.
Yeah.
Because he was frustrated that he did not want to play under that deal because he was displeased.
Okay.
And he was forced into playing. Wasn't really forced, but he chose to. And now he broke his leg. Let's pivot. Jalen Ramsey, another defensive back. He was in Jacksonville.
With the armored truck? We doing that one?
Yes.
Okay.
He was in Jacksonville, and he voiced his displeasure. Well, didn't really voice it, but we knew his displeasure of being in Jacksonville. Not necessarily with his contract, but he didn't want to be in Jacksonville. So what happened with Jalen Ramsey? He had a back injury. He missed 3 straight games for his back injury. The day he got traded to Los Angeles, back injury is suddenly cured.
Good chiropractors out here.
So, if Deshaun Watson, who has the same agent as Jalen Ramsey and at the time Earl Thomas, if Deshaun Watson is forced into the starting lineup, Marcellus Wiley, what I am trying to tell you is I would foresee Deshaun Watson having a wrist injury. I would foresee Deshaun Watson having a back injury.
My neck and my back.
I would foresee something happening. And why should Deshaun Watson have some sort of injury if he were thrust into action? For the same reason Earl Thomas probably never should have played when he was displeased. Because now what's the imagery that we all have of Earl Thomas? Getting carted off the field, flipping off his sideline. Why was he in that position? Because he didn't want to be out there because the Seahawks didn't want to honor him. Jalen Ramsey was never in that position. Because he never chose to play. Deshaun Watson won't be in that position either. Because even if they try to force him out there, Sal, he will not play. And he will be able to bob and weave the legalities of it all.
You act like they all got something in common.
Oh, they do. Same agent. Oh, interesting. Mastermind. Ah, smart. David, I like it. They don't have everything in common, though. And there are other images I have of Earl Thomas outside of giving the bird. Uh-oh. Damn. Oh, bad ending. Here we go. I wonder how many years left on the contracts Jalen Ramsey had at the time when he didn't say anything, but he said a lot. Earl Thomas, when he was going, and Deshaun Watson right now, 5 years left. Anybody have 5 years left on their contract when they were doing all that? That's a long time to be doing. You'll get tired of doing that. All right. I understand the whole general soreness argument. Mm-hmm. Like, who hasn't been there? I've missed a couple training camps before practices. General soreness, coach. You go figure it out. I understand that. But here's the problem. Other than the hardball play, that is still in play if they really want to go there. I don't know why they haven't just yet. Deshaun Watson is not a winner. Now, Deshaun Watson, hey, hold up. Don't you give me all that collegiate stuff.
Give me the reasons to watch.
Bro, that's the most oxymoronic statement. Deshaun Watson and not a winner, those two things do not go hand in hand, sir.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. Y'all think I'm hot taking up here. Is Matt Schaub a winner? Ryan Fitzpatrick a winner? Brian Hoyer a winner? Brock Osweiler winner?
Some have losing records.
Some
have losing records,
They
have losing records.
I add up their 4 years as the Houston Texans quarterbacks, and they have the same exact record. However you want to cook that gumbo of them four names, the same exact records in the regular season and postseason as one Deshaun Watson. Now, I know what I said kind of landed as hyperbole. Because it was said with a little bit of hyperbole. God, I know he's a winner in terms of his play, his dynamics, his skill set, but it just doesn't add up. It just doesn't translate. Like, that's not even a take. It's real. How does Deshaun Watson in 4 years have the same exact record as those four guys in those years? And you want to point to the coach. But then I say they had the same coach. So you should do better because you are better. I'm just giving you what the other side of the conversation sounds like. So if you're Deshaun Watson in this situation, you got an absurd asking price because they don't want to let you go. Mm-hmm. They haven't played hardball with you yet. The NFL is sitting on ice waiting for all of this dust to settle. What is the play? What should the Texans do? My answer is simply, once again, hopefully you understand this time. They should play him.
They can't.
They can't. No. I can see him not play, but I can say play. And then let the ball start to roll.
Let's play this out.
Let's play it out.
You are the general manager. You're Nick all Kasserian, of management for Kasserian? The...
Kasserian.
You're all so what's of the management. Of and you say, hey,
Deshaun Watson. I'm Deshaun Watson. Well, I'm talented.
You say, hey, you got to play.
What? I can't, coach. My back hurts. What's your move?
Okay.
What's your move,
you ready?
Sale?
Oh, you thought Dak got a lot of MRIs. You think Dak got two MRIs in a day. You wait.
And then I'm going to show that. Oh, man. First of all, big bank take little bank. I love when people want to challenge, but they ain't got it to challenge.
You have
Deshaun
no move,
Watson
though.
Would get bankrupt if they wanted to go down this road of saying, oh, we're going to prove that you are healthy.
They can't.
Yes, you can
because
prove that you
MRI
ain't got nothing on MRI.
Just because the MRI shows I'm healthy don't mean I feel good.
Okay, x-ray on then.
X-ray me. Just because the x-ray shows I'm healthy don't mean I feel
well,
good.
Okay, well, let's do the push test.
You can do whatever you want.
The push test.
I am hurt.
I had a back surgery. Trust me, they can find out where it hurts. And if they can't find out where it hurts, I understand. This is horrible optics. Horrible imagery, and you don't want to go down this road because this road will not only stain something that's already, let's be real, not in a good light, but also this is the franchise quarterback. I just never seen somebody not accept so much love in Deshaun Watson. And I never seen a beggar be so damn choosy. Deshaun Watson, of all things going on in his personal life, and you said we're going to get there. I don't know if we are, but whatever. That, to me, I don't talk about that because that's real life.
Mm-hmm.
Football's football. It's a game. It's a business. It's a sport. He got real life issues going on. So I ain't trying to make fun in light of that. That aside, Deshaun Watson, dog, you got the same record as these sorry quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, dog, you are top five quarterback. Deshaun Watson, we paying you and you chilling with all this going on? Why don't you just play and then let this stuff, hopefully, if you are in the right, go away?
Okay, I'll give you two reasons.
Just tell me.
The reason I would not play is because
I don't want to. And if we being real, it's childish or whatever.
I'm about to say
that sounds.
MJ said that this morning about cleaning up.
That sounds, which is true. Think about how many times players are forced to do something that they probably shouldn't have done, and it in turn costs them. An NFL career on average is 3 years. That's it, on average. Deshaun Watson as a quarterback, his career will be significantly longer. Why, Deshaun Watson, would he waste time somewhere he don't want to be at? Okay. Now,
I like
pivoting that a little bit is this.
Okay.
So we can make it work both ways now. We can make it work, big dog. Like, Texans, Deshaun, y'all can make it work. You're sitting here with 3 firsts and 2 seconds as an asking price. But Deshaun Watson's making $700,000 a week, $10 million this year, $700,000 a week. That means every day you, the general manager, look at Deshaun Watson, you are paying him $100,000 over the course of the football season. Deshaun Watson went into work today. He clocked in. Deshaun Watson will clock out, and he would have made $100,000. And what would you Houston Texans have gained? Nothing. So it behooves the Houston Texans, Sal, to go ahead and say, you know what? I'm done throwing this money to Deshaun Watson because eventually we're probably going to trade him anyway. So rather than paying him $100,000 every day to just sit here, drink Gatorade, eat a couple trail mix in the coach's meeting, and hold his helmet, we might as well move on from him. I'll give it to you like this.
You better give it to me somewhere.
I've sold a house, and I've told you this. And when I tried to sell a house, I'll give y'all round numbers so this can make a lot of sense to you. So when I tried to sell a house, I could sell it and list it for $1 million because I don't want $1 million. I'm trying to make all my money. Let's call the mortgage on that house $10,000. I am better served to sell my house for $975,000 today than sell it for that million in 5 months. Why? Because over the course of those 5 months, even if I do get $1 million, I've lost $10,000 every month for 5 months. So while it looks like I got a mill, what did it cost me holding on to that house to get that asking price that I so desperately wanted?
Right.
When I could have just lowered my asking price.
Yeah.
No, I didn't necessarily get the mill, but really I ended up winning. Yes, the Texans may one day, maybe in some future life, get 3 firsts and 2 seconds for Deshaun Watson. But what's it costing him? At a minimum, a roster spot right now. More than that, turmoil. And even more than that, a distraction. So as I look at it, lower the price, get something, because as it is right now, every day you paying Deshaun Watson $100,000 to do nothing.
Okay. One, I'm your homeboy. You know that, right? Even though we get into a lot of, like, beefs and people love you and don't like me, and we still friends. Okay, let's make sure of that. I've told you before I should be your agent because I can see so much talent in you. I see all the things that you're doing, and I just know I can extract more money out of these situations than you've gotten so far. But that's just because I'm privy to knowing you and your expenses. I need to be your lender as well. If you got $1 million house and you got a $10,000 mortgage, what interest rates are you paying?
The interest is high.
It ain't that high. And right now, it's record lows out there. Everybody, if you can, buy a house right now. Okay, here we go. Let's talk about this house transaction because I'm in the process. I'm selling the house and buying the house. So we're in the same boat. What better interest rates over here, though? All right, here we go. There's something in that transaction, once again, that people don't talk about. They always skip this step. And I'm doing it because it's a new construction. It's called their certificate of occupancy.
Okay.
Certificate of occupancy.
Where you going?
Okay, you hear where I'm going. You can have all your asking prices all you want, all your selling prices all you want. You can say it's your house. House is pending, under contract, all this stuff you're saying. But guess what? Ain't nothing happening until I get that certificate of occupancy. Deshaun Watson doesn't have that. He's got this price that I'm not going to go and cross and pay because I'm Deshaun Watson. How about this? Is this a scenario? Be real. Houston, Texas said, we're paying you $10 million and you don't want to play? We don't want to pay you. Now what are we going to do, Deshaun? You still eating no Snickers? You still coming in here talking about general soreness? You're not. I just don't know why that's not a reasonable step because it's going to hurt Deshaun's feelings. That is silly to me. All I'm saying is this. The car is not on 4 flats. It's not. I get it. If it's on 4 flats, Deshaun's on 4 flats, the Texans on 4 flats, don't go anywhere. This is a slow leak. We're going to try and push it to the gas station to pump this up again. We're going to move Deshaun a little bit to see where he can go. I don't understand why they are coddling him in this situation. The NFL I played in? Oh, if you're healthy, you playing. Oh, you're not healthy? Well, you ain't getting paid. That simple.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson both had to deal with off-season drama, but that all appears to be over. Now, Rodgers could be playing in his final season in Green Bay, and Wilson seems happy in Seattle's new offense. The Packers star is entering the season with the second-best MVP odds, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook, while Russ has the eighth-best odds. So, Sal, let's talk pressure.
Yeah.
Who is under more pressure this season, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
I think it's Russell Wilson. Once again, let's not skip a step. The pressure is always on the lesser player. And people always think that the pressure's at the top. Pressure's at the bottom. I was close to the bottom at times in my NFL career, and I was close to the top at times in my NFL career. Let me tell you where the pressure was. When you were biting your nails, when the Reaper came through, see your face. Tell people about the Reaper on cut days. Cut month, not even the day he walks in, but cut days. Talk about that anxiety.
The worst anxiety I've had in my life, yes. America,
preach,
is on NFL cut day. I will give you all a true story.
I want to hear it.
It was after the final preseason game in Philadelphia. We were having a team barbecue. The coaches' wives, the players' wives, everybody had to come to the team barbecue. It was mandatory. So I'm driving up to the team barbecue. I get a call on my phone. It's my dog, Earl. He's like, Acho, they cutting people at the barbecue.
Damn, can't even eat.
I said, they cut people at the barbecue. So I pull up Sale to the Eagles facility, One Nova Caraway, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I hear the Mission Impossible theme music. Da, 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 da. I walk in looking over my left shoulder for the Reaper. If y'all don't know, the Grim Reaper is the person who cuts you on cut day. It could be anybody.
It could be
a strength coach, a general manager, an equipment manager. I'm walking in, and as I'm walking in, I see players walking out. Heads hung low, shoulders, arms on shoulders, just being escorted out. So very simply, very quickly, the Grim Reaper will find you.
Yes.
And he will cut you.
Oh, man. I hate to laugh at your pain, but only reason I bring that up, look, neither one of these guys are going to see the Grim Reaper. But my point is, the lesser of the two players always feels more pressure because you're just that much closer to it not being as well as you want it. That's Russell Wilson in this conversation. Well, look, who is he being compared to? An MVP of last year in Aaron Rodgers. There's no pressure on Aaron Rodgers on the field. Now, let's talk about there's no pressure in Aaron Rodgers in terms of mentality. Aaron Rodgers don't give a damn. Russell Wilson is clamoring for our love, our affection, our admiration. Russell Wilson cares. You know your jokes land on Russell Wilson. With Aaron Rodgers, you hope they land. Think about it. If you say something to Aaron Rodgers, he could push back and say, all right, I won't show up. 50-50, coming to training camp. All right, I'll do Jeopardy. I may retire. I don't know what I'll do. But what I do understand about myself, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, is that there's no pressure on me. I'm great. I'm an MVP multiple times. I'm a Super Bowl champion. And I'm the reason we won a Super Bowl championship. Russell Wilson can't even say that. Yes, they won a championship, but was he the driving force? No. So this season, they both kicked up dust in the offseason. We get it. So that's why this is really a question. But if you ask me which body would I want to be in, would I want to be Aaron Rodgers coming off an MVP campaign who has the mental makeup he does, or be Russell Wilson, who's affected by everything, being real because he's a good guy? And last year, you had two different seasons, the beginning of the year and then the collapse of the second half, which included a lowly 140 yards passing in a playoff game that you lost. So to me, this was kind of simple. That's why I wanted to go story form. More pressure this season is obviously Russell Wilson.
So, first off, your answer is biased. Your answer is biased. Why? Because you ended by saying, whose body would I rather be in, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? And I know about your premarital infatuation with Sierra. As a result, I can't take your answer with any grain of legitimacy.
This beat is... I loved her.
Automatic. fresh.
Man, Aaron Rodgers is under more pressure, Sal. Let's talk. Here's why. They both kicked up dust. Rodgers kicked up significantly more dust. If you are going to cause a bigger fuss, then I need you to show that you were worth it all. If you're going to give me all this chaos, all this drama, act facetiously at times, Aaron Rodgers wore a shirt saying I'm offended. During offseason team activities, he was not only not in Wisconsin, he was in Hawaii. Dude was, you had to fly 8 hours to be where he was, playing, singing songs. He did no interviews. Then he did one interview with Kenny Mayne. Then he went and played golf. He played more golf publicly on television than he played football this offseason. So Aaron Rodgers, one, kicked up more dust than Russell Wilson, thus he's under more pressure. But getting into the nuances of it all, if y'all have not yet realized this, this is Aaron Rodgers' last season in Green Bay.
Yes.
His last season in Green Bay because he has one more year on his deal after this. The Packers are not going to let him fulfill his deal because he will walk in free agency. Mm. Instead, the Packers are simply going to trade Aaron Rodgers and get something for him as opposed to getting nothing for him in return. So now we've all agreed. This is last year in Green Bay.
Okay.
With that being said, Aaron Rodgers is under the pressure to make sure his status in Green Bay is high so he has as many trade opportunities as possible. Hmm. If Aaron Rodgers is perceived to be down the hill, over the hill, whatever the case
may be. That fast after MVP?
Whatever the case may be, Sel, there is the opportunity that maybe 20 teams are interested instead of 27. Mm-hmm. Now, to us, well, there's still 20, Acho, sure. But that does decrease some of the opportunities for where Rodgers can go. Yeah, get yourself right. Get yourself right. Sierra might be watching.
Oh, you leave her alone. So,
that lady happily married.
So,
they're good. I love that couple. I ain't gonna lie. They both won.
I hate you.
I'm talking to you right now. I just
so, really, bringing it all full circle, thesis statement, it's all said and it's all done. If Aaron Rodgers balls this year, he has all the trade destinations possible. Okay. If Aaron Rodgers balls this year, all the drama he started this offseason is worth it. If Aaron Rodgers does not ball this year, then it's like, wait a second, bruh. You was out there hosting Jeopardy, skipping OTAs for Hawaii, wearing shirts saying I'm offended for no reason. If Aaron Rodgers does not ball this year, then he will not have the full pick of any team he wants to go to when it's time to be traded.
Look. I want to correct myself. I say Russell Wilson had 140 passing yards in the playoff game. I'm sorry. He had 174. My bad. He threw for 40% completion percentage, though. Good Lord. That's where the 40 came in. Sorry. 72 passer rating. Good Lord. Good. Aaron Rodgers would throw up and slap himself if he ever woke up and had those kind of numbers in the game. May have. Wilson is 3-6 in his last 9 playoff games. You think there ain't no pressure on Russell Wilson? Let's talk about that second half collapse. Because it's crazy in the NFL season as it kicks off this week. We are pumped. We are geeked. And then midseason, some people get fatigued, it seems like, because they don't remember how these teams end up in those positions. Remember when Seattle was fighting for home field and could have been in the position, and all of a sudden they just had their second half collapse. Let's talk about that second half collapse that led to the collapse in the playoffs, that loss to the Rams. From week 10 through the end of the season, do you remember when the Bears outscored the Seahawks? I do. Do you remember when Andy Dalton had more touchdown passes when they were fighting for their playoff berth and seed than Russell Wilson? I do. What about Mike Glennon and Drew Lock more passing yards a game? Do you remember that? I do. What about Mitch Trubisky having a better passer rating then? A guy who was fighting to just get one MVP vote, go Hawks. No, you don't want to talk about that. And you want to talk about a guy at the same time in the same world was just racking up MVP votes to the point where he became the NFL's MVP. But after that, because he had a T-shirt on and he went to Hawaii and he was golfing, you're trying to tell me, first of all those things sound relaxing. You're trying to tell me there's more pressure with that guy than a guy who last time seen on a football field was worse than Drew Lock, who's a backup? Woo, boy, stop. Baker Mayfield was named the quarterback of Pro Football Focus's all-underrated team recently. Is that a compliment? Baker is entering his second year in head coach Kevin Stefanski's system, and they wrote, the duo was, quote, clicking on all cylinders in 2020. And year two of the partnership could cement Mayfield standing as a top 10 quarterback. Chacho, is Baker Mayfield underrated?
Absolutely. Baker Mayfield is underrated. Now, Baker Mayfield's not underrated by his peers who did their due diligence. He was in the NFL's top 100. Baker Mayfield is not underrated by marketing agencies and by endorsers. We know how many commercials that he is in. Mm. But Baker Mayfield is drastically underrated by the media. And I would argue Baker Mayfield is the most underrated player in the National Football League. Here is why.
Let's go.
When you look at any company, corporation, or leader, you always have to look at wins or improvement above replacement.
Okay.
If a CEO gets replaced, let me look at what the new CEO and how the new CEO improved the bottom line. Mm. If a television host gets replaced, how did the new host improve television ratings? If a quarterback gets replaced, how did the quarterback improve the win column? Baker Mayfield took a Cleveland Browns team that was 0-16 and a Cleveland Browns team that was 1-15. And within 3 years, he had double-digit wins.
Wow.
That is a greater improvement, if you all will, than what Josh Allen did in Buffalo because the Bills made the playoffs in 2017, what Lamar Jackson did in Baltimore because the Ravens made the playoffs in 2014, won a Super Bowl in 2012. What Patrick Mahomes did in Kansas City because the Chiefs made the playoffs four of the previous 5 years before Patrick Mahomes showed up. So what Baker Mayfield has done in Cleveland is a greater improvement than what Patrick Mahomes has done, what Josh Allen has done, and what Lamar Jackson has done. Yet we talk about Baker Mayfield as if he is a slouch. Baker Mayfield is underrated, and he might be the most underrated player in the game.
Okay, if they give out, like, plaques for this, would you put it up, like, all underrated team? Be real, if they gave it to you, for real. Like, this is a weird one.
No.
You wouldn't, right? Right? It's weird. I remember I made the all-Iron Man team or something, Phil Simms, something like that, and that was a compliment. But this one's, like, a little off the boulevard a little bit to me. So let's talk about, is Baker Mayfield underrated? No. He's accurately rated. He's perfectly rated. He's the balloon you let go. And you just want to see where it lands because you don't know. Everything that's good about Baker, you could counter with something that's bad about Baker. He's captain inconsistent so far. And that's why he's perfectly rated as probably, as you want to say, underrated. But to me, that's what you're rated when you're inconsistent. Here's the thing about him. Last year, he was a winner, but he wasn't the driving force. Baker Mayfield, you had a good year last year. Have you had two consecutive good years? Okay. All right, what about the consolation prize, the Josh Allen Award, which is every year you're improving at least? Oh, no, not that either. Let that balloon go. Let's just see where it's going to land. That's where Baker Mayfield stands with me. I love articles like this because you know I love me some Pro Football Focus. Good Lord. Got me into an argument with Jalen Ramsey one time on Twitter because he was like, well, they don't know what they're talking about. I think they do. All right, so let's take them for their word that Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield were, quote, clicking on all cylinders last year. You believe that? I don't. Because Baker Mayfield last year ranked 30th in NFL completion percentage. Is that clicking on all cylinders? You know Gardner Minshew was better than that. Oh, what about this? He was 24th in passing yards per game. Is that clicking on all cylinders? Sound like right where he's perfectly rated. Not underrated. We're perfectly rated. Fourth fewest among all quarterbacks in terms of passing attempts. Not the driving force. Is he underrated? Nah, sounds like he's perfectly rated. How about Baker Mayfield, who went 25 games in a row without back-to-back 250-yard passing attempts, passing efforts? Went 25 games. That's over a season. No back-to-back 250s? Oh, is he underrated? Nah, there's a reason why he won't put it up on his mantle as well. It's because he doesn't respect what they're even given, let alone respect that he is so-called underrated. Mic drop. Can I get that mic drop?
Can you pick the mic back up now?
Please? I will.
Baker Mayfield, sell Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield. I was having this conversation the other day, not about Baker Mayfield, just about life.
Oh, let's go.
And I started talking about Albert Einstein and his theory of relativity and all these other things that are far wiser than
I. Not the fish on the tree again.
No, not that one.
Okay, good.
But as you brought up Baker Mayfield not being the driving force, I thought about Baker Mayfield like gravity. Gravity is not necessarily the driving force of you and I's existence as we currently navigate life. At least we don't acknowledge it as such. But imagine a world without gravity. You wouldn't be tethered to the seat. You wouldn't be able to just walk freely. Because while gravity might not be the driving force, you want to know what happens when you ain't got gravity? Life as you know it ceases to exist in the quality that you know it. You want to know what happens to the Browns when they don't have Baker? Life as they know it ceases to exist, at least at the quality they know it. Because the Browns without Baker, as I told you all, and we have the full screen if we show it. If not, I'm going to talk through it. They were sell 1-31 over a 2-year stretch. We have seen teams go from winless to double-digit victories. We've seen that before. The Detroit Lions, they did that in three seasons. I think that's the Bucks' old uniform.
Where you at?
The Bucks, they did that within three seasons.
Yeah. Old school.
10-6.
Yep.
But the Browns, Sal, are the only franchise in organizational history to have one win over a two-year stretch and then have double-digit wins. So Baker Mayfield, he might not be the driving force, at least not to our eyes, but Baker Mayfield is something like gravity, Sal, because without gravity, we wouldn't like life's existence. And without Baker Mayfield, the Browns know what it's like. Mm. They hated life's existence.
Okay, let's have fun with this since you want to keep talking. Sometimes you just look over and you're like, oh, he's still going to say something? Okay, okay. So let's talk about this driving force of gravity. Life would be different. I know it's the driving force because of our demise and our age and how we wear and how we get older is because of gravity. Like, imagine if there was no gravity. We'd live forever. Because we wouldn't just age. We wouldn't. You know that always, I love this. I don't know. When did you have this conversation? Recently?
2 weeks ago. A
couple weeks ago? Yeah. Sound like you had it on 420. Anyway, here we go. This conversation you had, you were getting older in a different way. Gravitational force is always pulling on you. Mm-hmm. It's tethering us, yes, and that's sir. Great, but it comes at a cost. And let's talk about the cost of Baker Mayfield, 420 style. Honey, Pro Bowls, Mr. Underrated. Since you underrated, oh, you did something great. You ain't never been voted. How many winning seasons? Oh, let me take one of the messes off. Winning season one. Underrated? How many playoff appearances? Take that S off at the end. A playoff appearance. Come on, man. What's your record? Okay, here we go. Here we go. 23-22. That's damn near 500, bro. Underrated? And it's funny, you bring up wins above replacement. If you bring in another quarterback like Baker Mayfield and he changes everything in your fortunes, you got to give him all the credit. But just a couple blocks ago, I talked about how Deshaun Watson has the same record as who? Matt Schaub, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brian Hoyer, and Brock Osweiler. And you didn't want to give that any credit. Why give it credit now? You got caught there. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield, who has thrown 44 interceptions in the last 3 years. I wonder how many players have thrown more. Oh, none.
Underrated.
Yeah, man, stop. 6-14 against teams that finish with a winning record in your career. You can't even beat the winners. Stop it. Look, there's a reason it's not on your mantle, underrated plaque. There's a reason why he's not going to accept this as well. Or maybe he should, because it's properly rated.
So I'm not saying that Baker Mayfield is good without flaw.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying that Baker Mayfield without
I got more.
Air.
I got
I'm
more.
Not saying that Baker Mayfield is perfect. But what I am saying is that you do not give enough credence nor credit to Baker Mayfield for what he has done and deserves. Sal, the Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2012. The Bills went to four straight in the early 90s. The Chiefs went to four out of five years. They went to the playoffs before Mahomes showed up. The Browns still hadn't been to the playoffs since 02.
Facts.
Hadn't won a playoff game since the Bills were on the heels of their four consecutive Super Bowl stretch. And Baker has taken his team to the same heights as Josh Allen, has taken his team to the same heights as Lamar Jackson, has taken his team to the same heights as even Dak Prescott, if you will, as far as getting to the playoffs and winning a playoff game. So we respect Josh Allen, and we should. He's bald. We respect Lamar Jackson. We should. Unanimous MVP. We respect Dak Prescott. We should. He had an MVP vote back in the day his rookie year. But Baker Mayfield, you scoff at. I don't get it.
I get it.
Because nobody else
I can answer.
In the last 25 years has done anything remotely close to what Baker Mayfield has done in Cleveland.
I'm going to answer it for real. All right. Let me do this for real. I think one of my superpowers as a broadcaster analyst is the fact that I was good and bad in the NFL. I touched all four corners of the room. That helps me. Now, I know that they want to cherry pick only the good ones, the Hall of Famers. But the problem is they ain't got perspective like me. Like, when you the man on the team like I was, man, it's a different world. It's a different ecosystem. It's a different atmosphere than when you ain't the man. But I've been both. So let me tell you about my perspective. When I was good, I never heard things like this about me. No Pro Bowls. 30th in the league. Like, when you good, you don't hear 30th. You hear double digits. And he does. So when I was bad, I heard that. And I was like, okay, so I'm just appropriately calling it like I see it. Baker Mayfield has a chance this year to be a top 10 quarterback. if he becomes more of the driving force for this team. I'm rooting for him. Alex Van Pelt, his offensive coordinator, that's my old teammate. Love for them. Love for Baker Mayfield. But because I was good and bad, I gotta call it like I see it.
To watch and speak for yourself, I'm Marcel Swally. He's Emmanuel Acho with my favorite. Maybe that was my favorite take ever. That and Iron Man right there. Let's head to Baltimore, where Lamar Jackson won his first playoff game last season. But his teammate does not think that's enough. Defensive tackle Calais Campbell says it's now or never for Baltimore, adding, quote, the Super Bowl is the only thing that will be good enough this year. That's my dog. I love Calais. So, Acho, is it now or never for Lamar's Ravens?
It is now or never for the Ravens, but every year from this year forward for the Ravens is now or never. Why do I say that, Sel? You know what they teach you or what they've taught us, what I've had to learn lately in life is that you don't know how long you're going to be on this life. And so as a result, you have to make sure that you live your life to the fullest. Okay. Because sure, I'm 30 right now, but if someone were to tell me, hey, Acho, you only got 5 years left, then I actually am not as young as I believe myself to be. The Washington football team probably wish they took a now mentality with Robert Griffin. Because if someone would have told them, hey, he's going to peak his first year, and by the end of his third year, his days of being healthy are done, they probably regret how they played that out. The Atlanta Falcons, if they would have known that Mike Vick would experience his greatest success by his fourth season in the league, a conference championship appearance, they probably would have gone all in a little bit sooner. The Carolina Panthers, if they would have known that Cam Newton's peak was going to be his fifth season in the National Football League and that by his seventh season, his body would be begin to betray him, they probably would have gone all in a little bit sooner. So, Baltimore Ravens, do what Washington, Atlanta, and Carolina never did. Take a now mentality with Lamar Jackson, because players who play the game in the similar fashion to how Lamar Jackson played the game, whether it be Robert Griffin and his amazing running prowess, Mike Vick and his amazing running prowess, or Cam Newton and his different, but yes, still yet amazing running prowess, their peaks come sooner than other quarterbacks' peaks. Lamar Jackson is going on year four. I showed you Robert Griffin was year young one, Vic was year four, and Cam Newton was year five. Lamar Jackson's already in year four, Sal. They need to take a now mentality because it might just be never.
I disagree with you. I knew you were going to say that because you've been saying that. You try to say from this point forward. You've been saying this in this point backwards too, right? You've been like, on this team, kind of like me on Baker Mayfield, but at least I got a premise. I don't know what your premise is when you keep saying now or never, Super Bowl or bust for the Baltimore Ravens? Oh, I think that's a little premature. Here's something that's interesting, a Wileyism for you. You know who's going to live their life to the fullest? A fool is. Think about that. Because a lot of times, a lot of people want to push all the chips in right now. And I'm going to give you some examples of why you shouldn't push in all the chips at that moment. You know who's going to live their life to the fullest? A fool is. You ain't going to live your life to the fullest. Living your life to the fullest means we got to go out every night. You going to the Brightling with me tonight? No, you're not. You going to the Pendry with me tonight? No, you're not. Am I going tonight? No, I'm not. Because I ain't living my life to the fullest. I'm going to bed. I'm going home. Here's the thing. Lamar Jackson, who turns 25 in January. What? Turns 25 in January. Is now in the conversation of being an all-time great if he continues on his trajectory, right? We know that. Let's talk about some all-time greats at the age of 24 or 25. John Elway at the time, let's see what his win percentage was. 67. How many MVPs? Zero. How many Super Bowls? Zero. Let's keep going. Kurt Warner, nothing. He was bagging groceries. Peyton Manning, 525, barely over 500. No MVPs, no Super Bowls. Drew Brees, my teammate, 517. Treading water, barely 500. No MVPs, no Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers, how many MVPs? None. How many Super Bowls? None. 558 win percentage. And then there's Lamar Jackson with his 811 win percentage and an MVP already. Brother, 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 how you make it get down? You cannot push all the chips in terms of expectations on this team in this moment. Because if you got an all-time great quarterback, sometimes it takes time for them and their situations to fully blossom, fully mature. That said, my man Calais, I love him. I know what he's trying to do. He an old-ass man playing deep tackle. He playing three technique at 35 years old. Do the math for that. That's dog years. He 245 years old out there playing deep tackle. He like, look, we got to win this year or else. Yeah, because your old ass ain't going to last too much longer. He'll be still, but 35 playing three? Come on, man. He ain't long for that. So I understand why he's pushing the chips in, but he ain't got to be the one that's telling everybody else to do it.
Calais, what he's saying is true. His motivation for saying it is different than mine, but it is true nonetheless.
Okay,
so you bring up Kurt Warner, you bring up Peyton Manning, you bring up Drew Brees, you bring up John Elway, you bring up Aaron Rodgers. Lamar Jackson, based off style of play, is not similar to any of those individuals, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner,
that John young Elway, Elway but Rodgers. I hear Elway the closest.
Now, when I bring up Vic, RG3, Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson is more similar in playing style to those three than he is to your five.
Oh.
Why do I say that? Since Lamar Jackson took over as a starter week six of 2018, not week six, maybe week 11 of 2018, he played six games or seven games.
Yeah.
Since he took over as a starter, he has 189 more carries than the next closest quarterback. That means Lamar Jackson is lending himself to be hit 189 more times than the next closest quarterback. You play roughly 60 plays in a football game. Mm. Lamar Jackson is lending himself to be hit roughly three more games than the next closest player. Now, the next closest quarterback is Josh Allen with his rush attempts. Josh Allen, 6'4", 240 pounds. Lamar Jackson, 6'2", 216 pounds. That's at the combine. I doubt those numbers still exist the same way they are. So, even though Lamar Jackson is still rushed the ball 190 times more than the next closest person, the next closest person is built to take that contact more so than Lamar. Huh. Is Lamar a beast? Absolutely. Is Lamar unanimous MVP? Absolutely. Hmm. But if we are looking at history, I know this much, Sal.
What was
if
that?
You are lending yourself to contact 190 more times than the next closest individual, you're lending yourself to injury 190 more times than the next closest individual. Vic dealt with injuries. RG3, injuries. Cam, we obviously know what's going on there. Injuries. I don't wish that on Lamar, but I am saying it's got to be now because otherwise you run that risk.
You're going to respect the exception to the rule?
Please.
How many games has Yana, my man Lamar Jackson, missed in his career? How many times has Lamar Jackson been injured? He's missed one game since his freshman year in college. He's the exception to the rule. That's why he's the unanimous MVP. Only two of those guys have ever existed on this planet with the gravity. Let's talk about size and how you're built for it. I love this argument because conventional thought would make most people at home sit there and say, great point, Acho. You're right. That's conventional thought. But let's talk about the outliers. Let's talk about the exceptions. Remember Warrick Dunn? I remember Warrick Dunn. Remember there were injury concerns about Warrick Dunn? Warrick Dunn never got hurt. Warrick Dunn was like Iron Man out there. Meanwhile, bigger backs stayed hurt. There's something about, let's talk ball to people. There's something about small space occupancy, like phone booth. Like Warrick Dunn described it to me, but basically he said, I saw y'all coming. So I was able to do this in small spaces. Big backs, Jerome Bettis of my day, Eddie George's of the day, that stride took so much longer to get there that you taking all those hits. Lamar Jackson see this coming, man. Like, you ever watch him just dance with the sideline? One, that's another defender. That's the 12th man, the sideline. He laughs at that move. I'm a briar here. Guys can't get clean shots on him because he knows. Now, he's been hit. He's been taxed. He's been tapped. I get all of that. But it hasn't added up in terms of injury concern. Let's talk about why this team is not ready just yet for a Super Bowl run maybe this year. The injuries. J.K. Dobbins playing? They just had another running back injury just this morning. Marlon Humphrey out there hurting. Boykin hurting. Shaw Bateman, rookie, groin injury, groin surgery already. There's a lot on Lamar Jackson. And then if you look at those guys I brought up, they blossom later, age 27 and beyond. Elway, all of a sudden, one MVP, two Super Bowls. Kurt Warner, two MVPs, one Super Bowl. Peyton Manning, damn. Five MVPs after 27 and the two Super Bowls. Drew Brees, no MVPs ever, but Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, three MVPs, Super Bowl. After 27, why so premature
here
with your analysis?
Here is why. Again, I've said this before. I'm going to say this a lot this season.
Let's go.
Figures do not lie, but liars figure. And so the figure that Lamar Jackson has missed no time, that is not necessarily a lie. but you, Sal, being the liar in this moment, are figuring that actually means anything. The end of Lamar Jackson's season ended how? In the playoffs to the Buffalo Bills. Did Lamar Jackson end the game?
A loss.
It was a loss.
Coming up,
Lamar Jackson got knocked out of that game with a concussion.
They already lost.
Slammed to the ground, yeah, to the turf.
That
so,
happens.
No, yeah. He didn't miss any games.
Nah, he didn't miss.
But let's not get it twisted. The last time we saw Lamar Jackson, he was hurt.
Was he going to play again?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has missed more games. Patrick Mahomes has missed more games than Lamar Jackson.
I'm simply
he got
saying
injury concerns?
Lamar Jackson got hurt the very last time we saw him.
Point.
But more importantly is this.
Actually, at least.
Lamar Jackson's greatest asset. Let's not talk about all the incredible assets he has.
Oh, good,
he
good.
Has a great football IQ. He has a great arm. Mm. He's all that. Mm. But his greatest asset, I believe we can all agree, is his running ability. His greatest asset. A lot of assets.
Well, I mean, he led the league in passing touchdowns, too, so I don't know which one's greater.
Sure, but his greatest
sure. Yeah, what do you mean sure? Have you led the league in anything? Me either. Me either.
What is his greatest asset?
I don't know. NFL passer. That running back could throw, as they
say. His greatest asset is his running ability.
Yeah, he fast.
And here's the problem.
He fast.
His greatest asset is a depreciating asset.
Oh, really?
And that's the biggest issue, and that's why I'm on. Lamar's greatest asset is his ability to run. Why did he lead the league in passing touchdowns? Because his ability to run threatened defenses, made them have to keep an extra person in the box. Thus, you had one-on-ones on the outside. So that helped him lead the league in passing touchdowns.
Oh, Mike Vick did, too, one time. Oh, because it didn't work out.
Cam Newton had 35 passing touchdowns
as
well.
Did he lead the league? Did he lead the league?
His greatest asset, you're so stupid. His greatest asset's a depreciating asset. That is why I view Lamar Jackson differently than Drew Brees. Drew Brees' greatest asset was his mind and or his arm. Probably his mind. Peyton Manning, we know his greatest asset was his mind. John Elway, dude could do a lot. Aaron Rodgers, dude could do a lot. But Lamar Jackson's greatest asset, it depreciates. For that reason, Sal, you got to go ahead and win it now before it depreciates too much.
Our boy, our own Reggie Bush says, man, this is all natural. This speed never leaves. I just saw him saying that to Vince Young the other day. Wow. DeSean Jackson, come on, man. He always said, I can always run, So, man, what are you talking about?
Let's get back to Houston. Tyrod Taylor was named the Texans starting quarterback Monday, but DeSean Watson is still on the roster. Now, Watson requested a trade in January, but is expected to be a healthy scratch on game days. The Texan star is facing 22 civil lawsuits, and reports say Houston is looking for at least 3 first-round picks in any deal for the 3-time Pro Bowler. Got to bring in NFL analyst Bucky Brooks to weigh in on this one. So, Bucky, what should the Texans do with DeSean Watson?
Well, what they should have been doing is playing him. Because if I'm paying him, he needs to play. DeSean Watson is owed $10 million, and he'll collect that $10 million because he showed up to camp. He's not on the commissioner's exempt list. They haven't let him go. And so if I have a guy who is playing at an MVP level the last time we saw him, the last thing I'm going to do is sit him down as a healthy scratch to let somebody else fill him in. No disrespect to Tyrod Taylor, but I'm not going to, if I'm David Culley, trot out with Tyrod Taylor when I have a guy who has played at a top-5 level for this team a year ago play. I'm not going to do it. So the thing that is baffling to me is the Houston Texans started off wanting to keep DeSean. Now they're saying they want to trade DeSean. But what they will soon find out is it's hard to find another quarterback that can come in and play at a top-5 level. Let's look at some of the first-round picks that have come into the league recently. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Tua Tagovailoa. None of those guys have played at a level of DeSean Watson. So even if you get 3 number one picks, the odds say that you're not going to get equal value in return. If I am the Houston Texans, I play DeSean Watson because he gives my franchise the best opportunity to win.
Bucky. What you're saying makes sense in theory. However, what we know from history is it's not simply that simple. See, Bucky, you and Marcellus both say, well, I'm playing him, duh. But the kicker is this. DeSean Watson, we know, is not going to play. You're going to rush him out there. He's going to have some sort of injury, and he's going to have a back injury, a hand injury, a wrist injury, a thumb injury. There is going to be a reason why DeSean Watson will not play, nor should he. Players rarely have power in the National Football League. Unlike other leagues, players do not have power. So when they do find the loopholes in the system that can grant them coverage to keep them doing what they do want to do or from doing what they don't want to do, then they manipulate the loopholes. And shout out to Deshaun Watson's team and shout out to his agent because it's apparent they found the loophole. Remember, Bucky, Jalen Ramsey wanted out from the team in which you're now covering, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And when Jalen Ramsey wanted out, he had a back injury. Because Jaguars fans were like, why don't you just practice him? Now, he wasn't going to practice. He had a back injury. He missed 3 straight weeks, if I am not mistaken. He gets traded to the Los Angeles Rams. All of a sudden, his back is feeling better. He signs a new deal, making him the highest paid cornerback. And he goes from being in the dregs of the NFL to one of the best cities in the NFL and one of the best teams in the NFL. He got what he wanted because he found a loophole. Now, the viewers at home might be saying, well, you can just force him to play or you can sue him. No, you can't. It's not that simple. Because if Deshaun does have an injury and they force him out there, what happens when Deshaun gets hurt? Ooh, I see a lawsuit for negligence. All of a sudden, the new owner of the Texans might be named Mr. Watson. See, all along in sports leagues, we mask behind injuries. In the NBA, they do it all the time. How many games did the Brooklyn Nets players miss Kyrie, KD, Harden because of general soreness? So now when the athlete wants to have general soreness, why is it an issue? The athlete, in this instance, Deshaun Watson, has found a loophole. Great by him for finding the loophole, and that is why the Texans can't simply force him to play. What the Texans should do is lower their asking price. That's the only resolve they have.
Wow, that was a good take. I didn't think you had to come back after Bucky just said everything he said so eloquently and echoing what I feel. But still, oh, if he want to play this game, we're going to play this game. It's going to be a hard ball situation. Here's the thing. The Texans should play Deshaun Watson, and I want to hear him say he's hurt. But first, I want him to pass this physical, and I want him to say to everybody he's healthy right now. Then if he goes out there and play three and be like, oh, general soreness, I'm like, we're going to play that game. Okay, so now, one, in the court of public opinion, I've already swayed millions of people to know that you own some BS. That's fine. We're going to play that game because this game ain't going to be like Jalen Ramsey's. Oh, it's not going to be like Earl Thomas. This is a 5-year plan, Deshaun. 5 years of watching you. If you want to really play that, because we can play big bank, take little bank. Remember who signs your checks, homeboy. So we're going to play this game for 5 years while you go out there and continue to say you got general soreness because your pinky hurts? Okay. Good luck with that. Here's the thing, Bucky. I want you to understand, though. I got to push back on one part. They don't really want to trade him. Like, they don't want to. It's just an absurd asking price, which is basically saying no one should want to pay this. You ever go to that place? Like right now, I see behind you, I assume, a Carolina jersey behind you, right? And that's your jersey. That's Bucky Brooks on there. I can't come to your house and talk about Bucky. Let me get that. You're like, get that? No, it ain't for sale. Bucky, everything has a price. It ain't for sale, Wiley. Then I say, well, three firsts and three seconds. You gonna give it up now? That's absurd, but that makes you start to think, maybe I can get another jersey. They're starting to think, well, maybe if somebody is going to be stupid enough to give us 3 firsts and 3 seconds, then maybe we're going to have to find another quarterback. All mock drafts are leading the Houston Texans for drafting another quarterback, but they don't want to, in pure intention, give up on Deshaun Watson. So to me, I play him, and then I let this little game of trickery start. But the ball will be in the corner of Deshaun Watson.
So here's the thing about Deshaun Watson. I hear Acho talk about the power and players finding loopholes. I wonder if Deshaun Watson found the same loophole that Aaron Rodgers found. But he had, I wonder if he found the same loophole that Russell Wilson found. Because they also complain about their teams and they want to be traded. But lo and behold, I see Aaron Rodgers with the Packers and he didn't get anything. And I see Russell Wilson with the Seahawks. And he didn't get anything. But I don't know. Maybe Deshaun Watson has something that I don't know. Because what has also flipped is now because of all of this other stuff hanging around Deshaun Watson, the leverage that maybe he thought he had, he doesn't really have. Because now you have teams that are on the other side saying, I really would like him, but I don't know the terms that we can agree to because I don't know how long Deshaun Watson may sit out. If I don't know how long he's going to sit out, I don't know how to properly value him as my potential starting quarterback. And so if I am the Houston Texans, I'm looking at all this, also understanding that Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. I play this out very similar to the way the Pittsburgh Steelers played out the Ben Roethlisberger situation. If he is going to be my quarterback, I know that at some point a suspension might be levied for Deshaun Watson. I am going to deal with that because if I'm paying him, he's playing for me and he's not playing elsewhere. If Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play, then Deshaun Watson won't get paid. And we can play that injury game. But at some point, Acho and Marcellus, we know, players play. And Deshaun Watson is not sitting out for 5 years not playing for the Houston Texans. That is unrealistic.
Here's the thing, though, Bucky, because you're right. Ain't nobody sitting out for five years. But the reason most people do not get what they want, at least in sports, is because they get punked out of it. Most athletes, they get punked out of getting what they actually want. The reason Russell Wilson didn't necessarily get what he wanted from Seattle is because he has a good guy image to maintain. And he flirted with not maintaining it, but at the end of the day, he still had to land on the right side of that jurisdiction, which was, yo, I'm a good guy, Seattle. I want you all to love me. Earl Thomas on the field and unfortunately ended up off the field. He wasn't so worried about his image. He was worried about them coins. And in all honesty, when you get too emotional, image goes out the window. Jalen Ramsey realized, hey, my long-term happiness is worth much more than my short-term image. People in Jacksonville, as you remember, Bucky, come on, Jalen, don't do this, man. This team drafted you. They picked you top five overall. Like, come on, you're one of the best corners in the league. Great. He's now in Los Angeles, making $100 million, living the life of his dreams, playing for an organization that might compete for the Super Bowl. And what is Jacksonville? Drafting first overall again with a rookie quarterback and a head coach from college. So at the end of the day, there's a little short-term turmoil that Ramsey had to deal with. Earl even had to deal with. They both ended up the highest paid at their position and truly ended up in better situations. One just did not do as much with it. Deshaun Watson, yes, Bucky, he will be in a little bit of turmoil on the field specifically we're talking about in the 2021 season. But when he looks back at his career, and even when we look back in 2022 and he's playing for somewhere else, he will look back and say, you know what? That was worth it. Because what the Texans can't do is pay Deshaun Watson $156 million over the course of 5 years to not do anything at all but go to meetings. That's what they can't afford. Deshaun Watson would sacrifice playing a game in which he loves. The Texans would sacrifice $156 million. Which sacrifice is worse?
Good Lord, your bad self. Look, we're going to find out. That's where I'm from. I'm from the place where we're going to find out, Deshaun, how far you want to go with this. Here's the thing. Deshaun Watson is not going to hold his breath for 5 years. The Texans are not inclined to give him $156 million for 5 years. The NFL is sitting there waiting for the situation to finally solve itself and resolve itself. And then they can rule on this, like you said, with Ben Roethlisberger. So many things are happening at once. The conundrum is which one goes first. So I think Week one, Tyrod Taylor is a starter. But a lot of reports are saying it's the entire season. I can't see that being the case. I see that the Houston Texans are trying to buy themselves some time, $700,000 a week at a time. But they're trying to buy some time to see how this is going to play out. Meanwhile, we're going to ask something that no one's going to pay so that no one takes them away. But I just see the Texans winning this one because sooner or later, Deshaun, even though the Texans don't want to pay 156, they can. Deshaun is not going to be in the mindset to lose 156. And I think that's where the rub meets. And that's when we're going to see Deshaun Watson finally on the field.
Speaking of the Bucs, Tom Brady's first year in Tampa. Not go so bad, you think, since it ended with a Super Bowl title. Now it's on to year two, and the Bucs have the second-best odds to win it all, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. Mike Evans says everything is better this time around with this quarterback. Take a listen.
I mean, we're miles ahead of where we were last year. Not just me and his connection, but the whole team, the whole offense. I mean, it's really exciting, and I hopefully we can do something really special this year.
Bucky is back, but Acho, more or less confident Tom Brady's Bucks will be better this year.
Much more confident. Now, fellas, we have to decipher what is better. Right, it's hard to get better than the Super Bowl, but when I think that they will be better and where I think that they will be better is obviously in the regular season. Remember, after 12 weeks of play, the Bucs were 12th best in the NFL in the win-loss column. They were only 7-5. They weren't all that good. Where do I think the Bucs will be better? I don't think the Bucs will get blown out at all this year. Remember, they got embarrassed 38-3 against the Saints. They only ran the ball four times in that game. We will not see that type of ignorance this year from the offensive coaching staff. Where else did the Bucs get embarrassed? Tom Brady,
forgetting what down it was. Sure, we got our jokes in, we got our tweets in, but why? He was overwhelmed, overloaded, new team, new offense, primetime game, national spotlight, a lot going on in the 43-year-old's mind. That will not happen this year. Will the Bucks win two Super Bowls in 1 year? It's impossible. So can they actually get better as far as winning more in the playoffs? That's not what I'm saying. But I do think that they will make just as strong a run. I think they will likely end up in the Super Bowl. But more than that, throughout the regular season, they will be much more dominant than they were last year.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if they can be more dominant than they were a season ago. Just because everybody comes back, it doesn't ensure that they are going to be a much better team. Remember, everything hinges on a quarterback that is 44 years of age. And I just don't know if we can continue to say that Tom Brady is going to play at a high level. Yes, the defense balled out of control. And yes, he's surrounded by outstanding weapons on the outside. But remember, this running game only showed up during the playoffs with playoff Leonard Fournette showing up and playing well in the postseason. Didn't necessarily play great during the regular season. And so if you're saying that this offense is going to be TB12 throwing balls all over the air, that is too much to put on an older quarterback. At some point, Father Time catches up with everybody. I'm just saying, tick, 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 the odds are more likely that Tom Brady falls off than continues to sustain his level of play.
Oh, Bucky, you can't hang your hat on the Max Kellerman falling off a cliff argument, can you? That's my dog. Respect. Y'all keep going with that Father Time. I hear you, but you can't call Father Time. He's going to call you. And stop trying to wait up for Father Time on Tom Brady. He ain't coming that fast. Like, you're going to waste your time, waste your breath. Now, I will give some credence to the Father Time argument, or at least to his age coming to play. Because at the end of the season, Tom Brady in the postseason wasn't exactly Tom Brady in the postseason. They won because they had 9 takeaways from that defense. They won because that defense was balling. And Tom Brady, those last 4 games, let's just see. 55 completion percentage. Oh. 54. Oh. 55. Oh. But he looked good in the Super Bowl. 201 yards. I don't know. At that age, I never played football. But at the same time, I know that it starts to wear on you. It starts to lean on you. But not a Father Time conversation. I'm more with Acho on this one. It's not like this team is going to do better in terms of results. What they accomplished last year, you can't do better than. But how you get there is the conversation. I say they go 9-3 in their first 12 this year versus 7-5 last year. I say, like Acho, they're going to be more dominant in those games that they play. I also say that Tom Brady won't have that type of postseason in terms of underperformance. You add all that up, they may end up at the same place. But how they get there, oh, it's going to look better this year.
Marcellus, you just made my point for me. You just ran off you rattled off the stats from the last 4 games of the regular season and in the postseason where he was in the 50 percentile when it came to his completion rate. Know what that is? That's part of a trend that he has continued to do since his time in New England. Mm. When it gets later in the year, as an older player, your body begins to get achy and sore and you don't deliver. Now, he has moved to a warm weather location, so the cold doesn't affect him as it impacted him in New England. But make no mistake, the more the Buccaneers play, the less that we're going to see vintage Tom Brady. And so they may win, but they won't be a better version of themselves because the quarterback, the most important position, the quarterback is an aging player who is more likely to decline than to play at a high level. That is what it is. That is what it's always been with Tom Brady. And unless the guys around him play at a higher level than they played last year, Tom Brady will come back to the pack, and his team will not be nearly the team that we saw dominate in the Super Bowl.
Damn, I give you an inch, and you try to take a mile. I didn't say all that. I am not going with this Father Time, you, Max, falling off a cliff, decline argument. Okay, you want to go there? Let's use last year, and I'm going to prove that I am not going where you're going. First 12 games, 7-5. Last 8 games, Bucky, anybody? 8-0, but that ain't all on Tom Brady. I get it. How about the team's points per game? 28 the first 12 games, last 8 games, 34. Starting to give Brady a little credit. Look at your face there, Bucky. Fix your glasses. Passing yards per game, 275 in the first 12. Last 8 games, 300. Oh, Bucky, gotta get quiet. Touchdowns, interception, 28-11, 22-4. Don't be calling that man old. Let's talk about passer rate, 95 to 112. I ain't saying what you're saying, Bucky. I'm saying that this year,
he's not going to underperform in the postseason. But I ain't done with you, Bucky, because you wanted to take it to New England. Let's go to New England. Since turning 40 years old, I wonder how many times Tom Brady's been in the Super Bowl. 3. I wonder how many times he's won it. 2. I wonder how many MVPs. 1. How many Pro Bowls? 2. What's his record? 47-17. Third most passing yards in the NFL last year, 43. Second most passing touchdowns in the NFL. First player ever to have 50-plus touchdowns passing in a Super Bowl win in the same season at 43. Bucky, clarify, because you and I ain't the same, homie.
Oh, I mean, I like that you rattled off all the stats. You should stand up and be his presenter at the Hall of Fame, because what you did is just gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award. But I'm not talking about lifetimes of achievement. I'm talking about the here and now. And what you just told me was about the completion percentage and all that other stuff. And right just there. Because they won, it's a difference in winning because of and in spite of. Mm. And what we saw in the postseason, they won in spite of.
Passer rating went up the last 8 games to 112. You going to put that on them?
Completion percentage.
I got
and
that,
what
too.
We're going to do is we're going to keep it real when it came to why they won. Because our eyes told us that 201 yards in the Super Bowl.
It was over.
I've heard y'all come up here and besmirch Cam Newton for having stats that are like that. So I'm not going to give Tom Brady credit for the defense playing well, because the defense was the reason why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went on the run. Not Tom Brady, the defense. Turnovers.
What?
The ability to knock
Tom Brady didn't have to get out of second gear because Patrick Mahomes was over there, couldn't score a touchdown. Tom Brady out here being Tom Brady. And I gave you stats for last year, and I gave you stats that were cumulative for the last 3 years. All indications are that Tom Brady is not in decline. That was your statement. My statement is different, and my statement means we got to go to commercial.
Russell Wilson's blind side should be in good hands with the return of Pro Bowl left tackle Dwayne Brown. Now, Brown had a contract issue, but head coach Pete Carroll said he will be in action in Sunday's opener against the Colts. And the Seahawks are, quote, really ready to play football right now, close quote. So, Sal, you convinced that these Seahawks are a playoff team?
Nah, not convinced. Let's talk about their opponents. Let's talk about their foes that just got healthier and stronger in terms of that division. We know the 49ers compromised by health last year. We know that the Rams got stronger because they got a different quarterback in Matthew Stafford who can deal it. Now, let's talk about the issues within the borders of Seattle, within their own team and their walls. If you look at the Seattle Seahawks, they had a tale of two seasons last year. They fell off in the second half of the season. That second half collapse, we saw a team that went from averaging 34, 35 points a game down to 23 points a game. That's mediocre. You look at them in the first half when we were, like, unbeatable, 5-0. We saw the offense, historical pace. Then you saw them from weeks 10 to 17. They looked like the Bears' offense. Problem is, did they fix that? You thought maybe getting to the postseason, hey, let's reset and do something better. They didn't look any better in the postseason. So for that, not a hater, not a believer either. I don't know if they're really a playoff team.
I'm convinced, but you know me, Sal. If I have nothing to draw from, then I'll draw from history.
Okay.
And history says, with Russell Wilson at the helm and Pete Carroll at coach, they made the playoffs 8 of 9 seasons. Mm-hmm. So let's look at that 2017 season. What happened? Did Russell Wilson go bad? Did Pete Carroll go bad? Well, no. Cam Chancellor, one of the best safeties of the decade. You could argue generation based on how he played the game. Shoot. I love how Cam played the game. He ended up on IR.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman, first ballot, future Hall of Famer, ended up on IR.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Avril, their best pass rusher at the time, ended up on IR. Mm. Marshawn Lynch, they did not have a replacement for. Chris Carson, who was supposed to be a replacement, ended up on IR. So the only year the Seahawks have not made the playoffs when Russell Wilson is quarterbacking the team is when you lost your future Hall of Fame cornerback in Sherman, a safety of the decade in Cam Chancellor. You didn't replace your running back, and Russell Wilson had to lead the team not only in passing but in rushing as well. They're a lock to make the playoffs as long as Russell Wilson is quarterback. Russell Wilson's an overcomer. There's some quarterbacks that are really good, like Matthew Stafford. He's really good. But Matthew Stafford can't necessarily overcome the circumstances around him. Russell Wilson has been able to overcome the circumstances around him. The Seahawks defense was historically bad last year. First 4 games of the season, they were the worst defense in the NFL as far as yards given up per play. But still, they're 4-0. Did he tail off towards the end of the season? Absolutely
not. Tail off?
But,
or fall off?
But he got such a lead on everybody else that even as he fell off or tailed off, they still ended up in the playoffs. Mm. So as I look at it, Sal, They going to be in the playoffs like they always are every year.
No, they not. Who's won that division in the last 4 years, two of those 4 years?
The Rams. Did they get better?
Yep. So the Rams going to win the division. Let's talk about how they fell off, not tailed off. Seattle, 31st in pass defense last year. Is that good? 22nd in total defense. Is that good? We're getting better. Allowed the 6th most sacks last season. Do they have O-line issues? And what was that? Hold-ins and hold-outs, and Dwayne Brown got his contract, but now he gone at the end of the year. Third down, money down, 27th in the league last year on defense. Man, look, the reason they went from whoa to oh is because it started to decay. It started to erode. Will they be better this year? I don't know. New offensive coordinator? Will Russ cook? Does Russ care to cook? Russ has been through a lot this offseason in terms of commotion. We'll see how it hits the ground. And if it hits the ground running against the 49ers, the 49ers are going to be squad this year. Rams are going to be squad this year. Arizona's going to be squad this year. Like, I think it's just tougher sledding for a team that really is still searching for its identity.
Here's the thing, though, Sal. And I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
Dude.
I like doing this during the course of these shows. Just test our football knowledge. The teams that make the playoffs or win the division, they have the best quarterbacks in the playoffs, or they have the best quarterbacks in the division. If Dak Prescott doesn't get hurt, does they make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Of course they do. Dak Prescott, best quarterback in that division? Of course he is.
Yeah.
Let's go to the AFC North. Let's talk about the Steelers, the Browns, the Ravens, et cetera. Lamar Jackson, he's best quarterback in that division? Of course he is.
Did they All time?
Did they make the playoffs? Of course they did. Yeah. So y'all do the game in your own head at your own house.
Deshaun, okay, AFC. No. He the best quarterback in that division?
Technically,
Ryan Tannehill ain't top five.
Last two years, Ryan Tannehill is bald.
What'd you just say?
I have the full screen
ready.
Say?
Last how long?
Don't test me.
How long?
Don't test me.
Hold on, right now, we sit here. You get a quarterback, Ryan Tannehill or Deshaun. What are you doing?
He's like, come with Derrick Henry. With that being said, if you got the best quarterback, you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
When I look at the division of which Russell Wilson is a part of, when I look at that NFC West, Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in that division. Kyler Murray's good, sure.
Trey
Lance, good, maybe, we think. Yeah. Jimmy G, sure, if he's healthy.
He's saving the best.
But Matthew Stafford
with these weapons and Sean McVay. Sean McVay versus new offensive coordinator.
Here's the thing.
Weapons versus, look, I like the receiving core in Seattle better.
We do this all the time.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again if we do it all the time. We do this all the time. This hindsight bias stuff, right? Matthew Stafford didn't have the same weapons.
Foresight.
Doug Baldwin was not a weapon when he got drafted. He was undrafted free agent.
Stanford.
Jermaine Kearse was not a weapon. Doug Baldwin was undrafted. So Doug Baldwin was not a weapon when he was acquired. Undrafted free agent. Jermaine Kearse was not a weapon when the Seahawks acquired him.
Let's do it.
Russell Wilson has made all of these players weapons.
Oh, really?
Tyler Lockett was a third-round pick return specialist from Kansas State. He had 15 catches and 200 yards in a game last year. Mm. DK Metcalf was passed up by every team once.
One lap.
So DK Metcalf was not even perceived to be that great of an unheralded weapon. Russell Wilson has turned these players into weapons. Mm. So don't now be like, well, no, Matthew Stafford got weapons all of a sudden. Because wherever Russell Wilson would have been, his wide receivers would have been perceived as weapons. Just like Tyler Lockett's perceived as a weapon. Doug Baldwin was perceived as a weapon. DK Metcalf is perceived as the greatest weapon.
Yeah.
So Matthew Stafford maybe has had weapons.
Calvin Johnson, you think, yes, he's had weapons, but that's not the conversation right now. I'm trying to stick you and nail you to the fact you said, well, if you got the best quarterback, you win, right? You tell me who's a better quarterback. And I don't know, because our last time we tried to do this, you tried to act like Ryan Tannehill's as good as Matthew's.
Statistically, Ryan Tannehill's good.
Okay, here we go. Who's a better quarterback, Russell Wilson or John Wolford?
Because Russell Wilson lost to John Wolford.
What? Stop. Get out of here with this. 174 passing yards. You Russell Wilson, you. Oh, you're going to get my man Schottenheimer fired over that? That ain't Shotty's fault. You fell off the second half of the season. 40% completion percentage, Russell Wilson. That's last. You brought up Lamar Jackson, and you were talking about the last time we saw him, he was concussed. No, the last time we saw Russell Wilson playing football, that wasn't Russell Wilson. The last 8 games of the season, that wasn't the Seattle Seahawks offense we saw in the beginning of the season. My point is this.
Have they corrected themselves? You don't know that. I don't know that. Because things have changed.
They didn't have to sell. 17, they had 9 wins. 18, they had 10 wins. 19, they had 11 wins. 20, they had 12 wins. The last 4 years, they've been winning more and more
games. And the Rams have won more in that division.
Top 10 quarterbacks don't miss the playoffs. Unless you're going to talk to me about this Deshaun Watson situation in which he had a coaching change in the middle of the season. But Packers, they made the playoffs last year. They had Rodgers. You telling me the Cowboys would have made the playoffs with Dak. The Bucs and the Saints both made the playoffs last year. They had Brady and Breeze. Russell Wilson made the playoffs last year, and Goff made the playoffs last year. Big Ben made the playoffs last year, and Lamar Jackson made the playoffs last year, and Baker made the playoffs last year. Well, however you want to
Baker,
slice
when
it,
you say top 10, do you say that top 10?
Yes.
Matthew Stafford's top 10, he ain't make the playoffs. Dak is top 10, he ain't make the playoffs. Deshaun's
Dak
top 10,
hurt.
He ain't make the
Dak
playoffs.
Was hurt.
Hook or crook, brother. I'm just trying to tell you, that's how the game goes. The other team down in Los Angeles, not Seattle, the other team that they faced twice wins more divisional games than them. It's called the Rams. They're 16-8. Seahawks are 14-10. Slight edge. Rams. Rams got better. Did the Seahawks get better? Let's head to the AFC East. Tua's Dolphins are taking on Mac.
Who?
Mac Jones's Patriots in their season opener Sunday. Bill Belichick said Monday that Tua looks good to him.
Okay.
But both teams still have to deal with the Bills, for the defending AFC East champs. Man, we need to get our budget up. That beat in the background. So, Acho, who is the bigger threat to the Bills in the AFC East? Dolphins, Patriots?
Dolphins. First and foremost, I like Tua more than I like Mac Jones. Let's call a spade a spade. The quarterback leads the teams. Let's stop with these narratives for whatever reason. Tua was a better quarterback in college than Mac Jones was. Mac Jones sat behind Tua for 2 years and some change. So we already know Tua was a better college quarterback. Now let's go to the pros. Tua is 6-3 as a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Reach.
Mac Jones, we have no idea who and what he is going to be in the National Football League.
Listen.
So until we have some solid evidence, Tua is not only a better quarterback than Mac Jones, he's a significantly better quarterback than Mac Jones. So for that reason, I'm leading Dolphins. Now let's look at weapons. Beyond all the Tua and Mac Jones stuff, Tua just got better weapons. They got Jalen Waddle. They made that addition. They have Gesicki at tight end. He is a beast. Mm. They have weapons out there, and I like their three-headed monster at the running back position. A couple Washington cats and Matt Breida. So I like who they have there as well. Then beyond that, when I look at the Patriots, I just don't see who I'm supposed to be scared of. Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry when he's healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mac Jones.
Nice duo.
Like, who am I supposed, who's supposed to strike fear in the hearts of the defense? When you're preparing in the National Football League, you're always going to be like, who we got to worry about?
Yeah.
When we call one star, when we call our double team coverage on third down, who are we double teaming? When I look at the Patriots, nobody commands a double team, which means we can just kind of play base defense. When I look at the Dolphins, at least Jalen Waddle, we're going to say, uh-oh, dude got speed now. Hey, linebacker, make sure you cut to him in this man-to-man coverage. When I look at the Patriots, nobody scares me. For that reason, the Patriots don't get scared me.
Oh, I love to have been on your team because something should scare you about the Patriots, and I'm going to talk about it. And I think they're the bigger threat to the Buffalo Bills this year, despite loving the Miami Dolphins as well. But I think the Patriots are the greater threat. One, they got mind control over Debo. Like, say what you want about Buffalo and last year, but they are 17-5 against that team in the last decade. Now, how is that coming to play? They got spanked by the Bills last year, the Patriots, one time. How about the other game? With Cam Newton, with no weapons. They almost won that game. They only lost by 3. I bring that up because now this is the same team that last year was fourth in rushing last year. Fourth in rushing. I wonder what the top 3 teams did last year. Let's see. Come on, Marcellus, be prepared. Oh, I am actually prepared. Ravens, did they make the playoffs? Titans, did they make the playoffs? What about Cleveland? Did they make the playoffs with a quarterback that is underrated? Yes, they did. So the Patriots fall next in line. Oh, but all they need is a quarterback, as you say, to play adequate. I don't need to go into a conversation of Tua versus Mac Jones. It's Mac Jones versus Cam Newton. How many passing touchdowns?
So Cam isn't good anymore?
No. I'm comparing him to Mac Jones in potential. You ain't going to make me hate on Cam.
I'm not.
That's what you're waiting for.
We spent the last 8 months on this
Longer than that.
You telling me that Cam Newton was the starter in New England.
Why are you
And then
jumping?
You kept telling me that
Why
Cam Newton
leaping?
Is better than Mac Jones.
Why are you leaping all in front of my conversation? Double touching. Like, now you're getting me tangled. Look, 8 touchdowns. You think... Over or under, Mac Jones going to have 8 passing touchdowns.
Way over.
Well, then, damn.
Let's talk total touchdowns.
Oh, 21? I might win that bet to 21 total touchdowns. Over under. Look at your face. Boy, that's why you stop going to Vegas, because you can't gamble. Point being, I'm not saying that the bar is low, but it's a bar that he can attain in terms of achieving those numbers with a safety net, the safety blanket of a fourth-ranked rushing attack. Let's look at Buffalo. This is what I love about the NFL. Remember, I always tell you about the story. The first time I saw Peyton Manning's, we were out there doing our scouting report, and it was the first page is all positive. So it was pros and cons, double-sided. Mm-hmm. Pros, long, small font, because you had to put so much on there. And then I was like, I know there ain't going to be nothing on the other side. The other side was as long as the other side. Pros and cons had the same amount of material. The Buffalo Bills are not perfect. Buffalo Bills won 13 games last year. They were a beast. You know the Buffalo Bills? Red zone, 28th, 27th in penalties, 20th in takeaways, 20th in rush offense. Patriots, man. One thing about the Patriots I love is that they ain't trying to win games. They just ain't going to lose them. And if Mac Jones goes out there and gives you a little more than Cam, they may not lose many games next year.
Amari Cooper, wide receiver for the Cowboys, said, quote, I think I'm the best receiver in the league. This follows Mike Evans of the Buccaneers saying Sunday that, quote, I feel like I'm the best on this planet. So it got us thinking about all the receivers in the league. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Who's the best receiver on the planet?
DeAndre Hopkins, because he was DeAndre Hopkins no matter who his quarterback was. Ryan Mallett, Tom, 21. Savage, 21. Case Keenum, Matt Schaub, Brandon Wheaton, Brock Osweiler, Brian Hoyer, and he was still DeAndre Hopkins? Oh, it's simple. It's Hopkins.
I'm going to give you another D, but Devontae Adams. I like Devontae Adams. Why? Because I think his routes are a little bit more crisp. I think he has to play, obviously, in a much more difficult environment. Sal, you know how hard it is to catch football in the cold? How hard it is to catch football in the cold?
It's crisper.
Would you rather play?
What?
In Green Bay?
What?
Or in Houston,
I actually did this. I got a fumble recovery in Green Bay. Ran 40 yards and dropped the ball because it was too damn cold. Yeah, to your point. I just want to say to all the receivers today, y'all got it easy. When I play, listen to these names. Sterling Sharp, Marvin Harrison, T.O., Herman Moore, Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, braided up. Oh, Michael Irvin, Eric Moles, Andre Reed. Y'all ain't that good.